It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, here we go. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world. Broadcasting from the tippy top of the world famous Fox News headquarters in New York City, it is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, a man who did not turn his back on our ally in Israel. No, ma'am. Joe Biden pulling an about face, demanding an immediate ceasefire, and now threatening to withhold funds from our number one ally in the Middle East.
That's just how white folks will do you.
But at the end of the day, he's doing what? He's caving to the demands of the far-left Hamas wing of his party.
They're crazy.
Really sad stuff. We're going to get into it in this hour. 888-788-9910 on what's going to be just a food fight of a show. The new inflation numbers came out a little while ago.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
Big trouble, because it rose again in March, 3.5% for the core price index, which means the things you need to survive, they're going up.
Biden sucks.
Jenny Failla, my wife, two-time Yellow Jacket winner on Fox News Saturday night, is actually going to stop by in the next hour, and we're going to have a talk about surviving in a rough economy when you're short on funds, because Jenny and I spent probably the first 10 years of Lincoln's life doing exactly that. She was making homemade diapers. She was making homemade food. And we were trying to stretch a buck as far as we could. So believe me, we've felt what you're feeling, and we've persevered through it. So we'll do what we can to help out, give you some guidance. We're also going to talk to Kennedy, the human happy hour, about those inflation numbers as well. And we will get into, a really embarrassing story for NPR.
Journalism in this country is dead and buried.
A senior editor at NPR is flat out saying the entirety of the place has lost the trust of the American people because they're all liberal. And, well,
I admire your honesty.
He's telling you the truth. And we will do our best to do so as well. 888-788-9910 if you want a part of the show. You can be a Republican, you can be a Democrat, Libertarian, Independent. Just don't be a happy Wednesday. If you watched me last night on the Ingram Angle, thank you. Your radio buddy always needs those TV ratings. If you missed it, it is on foxacrossamerica.com, where you can also get stand-up tickets to my show this Saturday. We are down in Huntsville, Alabama at the Mars Music Hall. And then hold on, because we haven't really discussed this enough on the show, but next Saturday night, we are in Fargo, hanging out with the WZFG listeners on the flag. Oh, we are pumped up for this. The Flag family, our long overdue get-together, comes next Saturday night, April the 20th. If you didn't get tickets for that yet, foxacrossamerica.com, okay? If you would like to allocate funding towards a comedy tour, which I only bring up because right now what's going on in Washington is they are threatening to withhold funding from Israel.
Country is being destroyed by stupid people, by very stupid people.
So I want to give you some backstory on this, because part of the beauty of what we do on this show, in addition to empowering the listener to believing that they too could get a talk show. I mean, if you listen to me for 3 hours a day, you probably walk away from this going, wow, if they gave Failla a national talk show, I'm going to get one any minute now.
That's true. That is true.
Okay. I don't have any formal background, broadcast training or anything like that. I tell you up front, my hook is that I own a politics to English dictionary. Okay. Things happen in Washington and I can translate it to plain English. Well, today's translation stems from a recent comment that was made by none other than Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
AOC is a dope.
Okay, but if you were watching Stephen Colbert this past Monday, first and foremost, I'm sorry. I don't know what you did to deserve such a fate. I don't know why life has conspired against you to punish you in such a manner. But if you were watching Colbert Monday night, you saw AOC on there, and I just want to play you a clip of Stephen Colbert's show.
No! God! No! God, please, no! No! No!
But AOC, to her credit, was speaking to the political reality facing Joe Biden. Joe Biden desperately needs the state of Michigan. Desperately needs the state of Michigan if he's going to have any shot of winning the presidency. And the problem he has in the state of Michigan is Dearborn is loaded with anti-Semites. okay? If you saw the jarring footage, we'll play you some in this hour, of them getting together and holding death to Israel chants and death to America chants and accusing Biden of committing a genocide in Gaza. Okay, those people voted uncommitted in the Democratic primaries, meaning uncommitted. They didn't vote Republican, and they're not going to vote Republican, to be clear. But they're going to have a big problem with turnout in that state if those uncommitted people remain uncommitted. So knowing that Hamas paraglided into Israel on October the 7th and committed a terror attack that would be 10 times the size of 9/11 here based on the population of Israel, killing women and children, throwing babies in ovens, okay, all types of human rights atrocities committed against unsuspecting partygoers in Israel. Okay, the response from Israel, as you'd imagine, is pretty aggressive. Okay, the people on the left have tried to frame this as Israel's committing genocide against Muslim.
Democrats are so full of crap.
Totally, because you understand, Israel doesn't have a Muslim problem, okay? That's not Islamophobia. They have 2 million Muslims living in Israel. 2 million Muslims. Okay, if Israel is anti-Muslim, they're probably not letting those 2 million people live in peace in the country.
I think he's got a point.
But they are, because their problem isn't with Muslims. Their problem is with terrorists.
Bingo.
Okay, Hamas is a terror group. And the way they weaponize sentiment in their favor is they wage terror attacks, and then they put their military installations in heavily populated areas, schools, hospitals, stuff of that nature. So when people retaliate against Hamas, they do get a high amount of civilian casualties. Okay, sadly, that is the collateral damage. Hamas doesn't value human life the way we do, and they understand that they can strike you, and if you try to strike back, you're going to kill civilians and look bad in the process. Don't take my word for it as some Fox News radio host, some, you know, guy who hosts a comedy show on TV, okay? Take the word of Bill Clinton, a Democratic president who said as much during his speech. Here is Clinton explaining on one of his high-paying speaking tours, where, as you know, he gets all the money in singles.
This is not okay.
But here is Clinton outlining exactly what Hamas does, something we've all been saying on Fox News since October. And people on the left are like, genocide! They're just going against civilians! No, no, they're not trying to get civilians. They're trying to get Hamas, who embeds their military installations with civilians. Here is Bill Clinton, clip 9.
Hamas is really smart. When they decide to rocket Israel, they insinuate themselves in the hospitals, in the schools, in the highly populous areas, and they are smart. So they try to put the Israelis in a position of either not defending themselves or killing innocents. They're good at it. They're smart. They've been doing this a long time.
He knows what he's talking about.
Guys, just so we're clear, just so everybody understands who that was Bill Clinton. That was Bill Clinton saying in 2016 exactly what Hamas is doing to this very day. They insulate themselves in hospitals and schools in heavily populous areas, so they're guaranteed a high amount of civilian casualties. Ergo, people say, oh, Israel better call off the dogs. Look at all the people they're killing. Okay, but do you understand asking Israel to call off the dogs means asking Israel to just give up 130 hostages that we know of that are still under Hamas control?
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
Take it a step further, though. Okay, we've got all these countries in the Middle East condemning Israel. You've got now our country condemning Israel. Why? Because it's become a political liability for Biden. Biden knows Israel's our only ally in the Middle East that shares our values. Literally the only one that shares our values and values human life the way we do. They're the only ones we have, which is why we've always been steadfast in our support of Israel, no matter how tumultuous that region has gotten. When you demonstrate the political weakness Biden is showing in this moment by threatening to withhold aid from Israel, condemning the way they're going after Hamas, you are demonstrating weakness on the world stage. Now, understand, Robert Gates, another guy who worked under Obama, defense secretary, you've heard this quote by a million people in conservative media. And the reason we bring it up is because it's so apropos when you're thinking about the way we mishandled Afghanistan, when the way you think about how we're mishandling our relations with Mexico and the migrant situation. Robert Gates famously said in his biography, autobiography, Joe Biden, bless his heart, nice guy, but he's been wrong about every major foreign policy decision of the past 4 decades.
I agree with that.
Okay, didn't want to go after bin Laden. Did vote in favor of the Iraq war. Okay, pulled the troops out ahead of the civilians in Afghanistan.
Biden is such a disaster.
Okay, well, you're talking about consequential levels of wrong. This isn't the guy guessing wrong at Pictionary and going 2 steps back on the board. This is a guy getting people killed. And when you demonstrate this type of weakness on the world stage, you understand. People who want to kill us, people who don't value our way of life, okay, they don't share any of our values. They don't care about pronouns. They don't care about Pride Month. They don't care about anything. They don't care about climate change. They don't care about any of that. Okay, the only thing we do that they respect is strength. The only language we share with these people is our ability to turn them into ash if they get out of line. That's who we're supposed to be, the team nobody wants to play. Now they hear the team getting heckled from the crowd and changing its offensive strategy, and people stop taking us seriously. That's exactly what you're dealing with in this moment.
We really are being laughed at and scoffed at throughout the world. They're not respecting our country the way they used to.
So here is AOC outlining the stakes for Biden, and then I'll give you Biden's response. This is clip 3.
We need to acknowledge actually the upside of the uncommitted movement, which is that these are folks that could have easily given way to cynicism and walked away from this process entirely. And what they're doing instead is using the primary to send a message and say, this is important to me, to the president. This is important to me. I'm going to engage in our democratic process. I am going to show up. I am going to vote. I am going to say what's important to me. But I also know, and I do believe that many in the uncommitted campaign believe this, I also know and understand the threat of a Donald Trump presidency.
What is the threat of a Donald Trump presidency, by the way? That foreign agitators back down and respect us, that the border gets secure, that inflation doesn't go up 3 consecutive years in a row, that gas isn't 50% higher. Do you know that gas is 50% higher today, right now, than it was on the day Joe Biden took office? 50% higher. Okay, we're not taking steps to correct that. Our strategic petroleum reserves have been decimated because in the run-up to the midterms, okay, he emptied them, flooded the market in an attempt to artificially lower the cost of gas. Now that the supply and demand ratios have caught up, guess what's happening? Price of gas is going right back up. And we don't have strategic petroleum reserves, which is curious because we're on the brink of World War III. Because of all of the things we're funding around the world, whether it's Ukraine and the instability there, whether it's the Middle East, believe me, kneecapping Israel is not going to make the region more stable because Hamas doesn't respect ceasefires. Do you know we were in a ceasefire on October 7th when they paraglided in and killed 2,000 people? But here is Biden, okay, saying Netanyahu is making a mistake. Our number one ally responding to a terror attack. Imagine 9/11 happens. And our number one ally starts telling us, okay, how to respond. Okay, if someone said that post 9/11, we'd be like,
somebody ought to belt you in the mouth.
We weren't going to be told how to respond to a terror attack, but here is Biden criticizing Netanyahu. Weakness. Clip 1.
Do you think at this point Prime Minister Netanyahu is more concerned about his political survival than he's in the national interest of his people?
What I will tell you is I think what he's doing is a mistake. Mm. I don't agree with his approach. I think it's outrageous.
Oh, outrageous.
That those three vehicles were hit by drones and taken out on a highway where it wasn't like it was along the shore. It wasn't like there was a convoy moving here, et cetera.
Garbage like you just makes me sick.
I think it's a disgrace. Do you know how many civilians Biden has droned or accidentally droned in the aftermath of the Afghan troop withdrawal? Okay, did our allies around the world suddenly abandon us? Of course not. But here's Biden. He wants a ceasefire, 6 to 8 weeks. There's only one problem. Hamas doesn't respect 6 to 8 minutes. Clip 2.
So what I'm calling for is for the Israelis to just call for a ceasefire, allow for the next 6, 8 weeks total access to all food and medicine going into the country. I've spoken with everyone from the Saudis to the Jordanians to the Egyptians. They're prepared to move in. They're prepared to move this food in. And I think there's no excuse to not provide for the medical and the food needs of those people. They should be done now.
I mean,
you don't have a clue.
And why do we say that? Because the only people denying aid to the citizens of Gaza are the members of Hamas. Okay, we've watched the videos of them jacking aid vehicles. Okay, we've watched the videos of them absconding the aid. But bigger than all of that is we're only in this position because we were in a ceasefire that ended with Hamas pulling a surprise attack that killed 2,000 people. And when you say to the world, hey, suddenly I'm getting political pressure on this issue from the left and I've got an election coming up, so I'll do what the mob tells me to. That's not peace through strength. That's chaos through the guy in the White House being a total bottom line. And that's why we have the situation we have. A ceasefire doesn't make us more likely to find peace. It makes it more likely for us and our allies to get walked all over in the Middle East.
And I'm out here in the real world and I know what's right or wrong or bullshit.
The reviews are in.
That is a disgusting act, and it's unfortunate that we had that on our air live.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Vaila.
Guys, are you the same guy that you were 10 years ago? Everybody's been there. You wake up one morning, you feel like you're getting old, man. Stuff hurts. What do I do? One idea is to use the powerful testosterone booster in Nugenix Total T because it will revive your energy. It'll power up the workouts, might even put the old fire back in the bedroom. Hey, girl, your old self is back. You'll feel amazing on this stuff. So tap the brakes on the aging process because every day that passes is a day you lose testosterone. That means less muscle, means less energy, and it does mean less get up and go in the bedroom. And are you really ready to lose all of it? The shape, the muscle, the energy. Are you ready to get old? Okay, you don't have to. You can slow it down with Nugenix Total T. It boosts free and total testosterone. It helps you get the old fire back at work, in the gym, and in the bedroom. Nugenix Total T testosterone booster with Tesner. It'll help you turn back the clock and re-energize your life and prove it to yourself. Try Nugenix Total T before you buy. There is nothing to lose. Get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, the newest and most powerful fat incinerator ever with key ingredients to help you lose fat and get lean fast. It is absolutely free. Your complimentary bottle awaits. Text 231-231 and enter keyword Jimmy. Text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates apply. Number one doctor recommended brand by primary care physicians based on an independent survey conducted by IQVIA 2022.
Everything you need to know. Here is this week on ABC. Sarah Isker, and admire her honesty, telling the truth about ceasefires and where this goes from here. It is clip five.
The Hamas side has rejected the six-week ceasefires that have been offered time and time again by Israel. Offer a simple ceasefire. Return all of the hostages, they actually hold 133, in exchange for a ceasefire, because you know what? Hamas will either reject it or they will violate it immediately. Because don't forget, there was a ceasefire on October 6th. This is the problem. This isn't like 9/11. They are holding Israelis. They're holding Americans, for that matter. So yes, Israel is going to keep prosecuting that war until every single one of those people are home. And that 47-minute video that they have of what Hamas did on October 7th is something that, frankly, Americans shouldn't have to watch. But maybe they need a reminder for what happened that day, because it wasn't like 9/11. They shot parents and burned their children in front of them.
Did you hear that? They shot parents, burned their children in front of them.
I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
And we got a guy in the White House who's on their side. No, Israel's got to calm it down. Guys, they have 133 hostages. Some of them are American. And we're just saying, no, give Hamas a break. Let them hold on to our hostages. Do you think anyone, anywhere in the world, hears that rhetoric out of the United States of America and looks at us the way they used to?
The answer would be no.
Guys, I mean this. Okay, this is not a politically active show. I don't tell you how to vote. I'll give you opinions. You do what you want with them, and it's fine. Okay, but we are really naive to the primal threat we face on the world stage in terms of just how barbaric people are. just how much less they value human life than we do. These are folks who shot parents and burned their children alive in front of them. And we're now giving them their way because of political pressure. I promise you, that's not the ticket to more respect. That's the ticket to a lot less, because we look like a bunch of circus clowns.
Reality with a bit of insanity. It's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
What was Michael Strahan's first car back in the day?
The one that I bought myself?
Uh-huh.
One of my parents.
No, you're OG. I'm talking high school Strahan.
My parents had me a Ford Festiva.
Whoa!
But it was powder blue with a pink stripe down.
Nobody likes a show-off, pal.
Yeah,
I mean, save some ladies for the rest of us.
I'm trying to show off
in
that car.
I'm kidding.
There were no ladies in that car.
None at all. Yeah, that thing went from zero to lonely in three seconds.
That passenger seat was empty all the time.
Dude, I had an 87 Chrysler LeBaron. They didn't even give me one.
Yeah,
it had heat. I had swag in the LeBaron. That's what I'm saying. Old school Color Me Bad cassette in the tape deck.
I'd rock that right now.
The ladies are all getting nuts right now.
Michael Strahan coming at me, said I had gel in my hair back when I was driving my 87 Chrysler LeBaron.
Wrong.
Joke's on you, Strahan. I had a crew cut, I believe. Didn't have much hair going on back then. But we bring up first cars. That was a clip from Fox News Saturday night this past weekend. Shout out to NFL Hall of Famer Michael Strahan. But sadly, if you are out there on the road, the price of gas has gone up 50%. 50% since Biden took office.
This could be a problem.
Listen, man, if you're living paycheck to paycheck right now, as 75% of this country is, government's crushing you. I'm bringing on Jenny in the next hour. We're going to the mattresses. Jenny Failla, you know, is, for all intents and purposes, like a frontierswoman. When we started our family, we were so broke. We were having Lincoln. I was driving a cab. She was working as a nanny. We were doing about 35 side jobs between us. I don't know that from the year 2008 to probably 2017, you could have come into our house before 3 a.m. and seen both of us in bed. We were always, somebody was doing something at some remote hour of the night for some type of outsourced source of pay. Whether I was picking up a writing assignment, or she was making a cake, or repurposing a piece of furniture, you got to want it. You got to fight the ground war. And we fought one, and we're here where we are, which seems like a pretty solid place. But, you know, if you live through something like that, it's impossible not to relate with what people are going through. So Jenny's going to come on and share some survival tips in the next hour of how we stretch the buck, because I was looking at these inflation numbers today, just kind of reading them this morning, and I was like, my gosh, you know, the core price index. Okay, they're saying rose by 3.5% in the last month. Biden put out a statement, of course, saying, oh, inflation continues to go down.
It's nothing more than white noise coming from the White House.
And I say that, why? Because is inflation technically down from its high point since he took office? Yes. But your overall costs are up 26%. So is inflation actually down under Biden? No. Gas is 50% higher alone. Gas, which, by the way, the things that are factored into the core price index don't include gas, don't include like housing, because they're like, well, they're too volatile. Yeah, great. But they're your two biggest expenses. So when you tell me it rose by 3.5%, you're actually lying in terms of what my overall costs rose by, because we also paid more money for gas. We also paid more money for housing because the interest rates are through the roof. So people are getting smoked. I have a lot of empathy for that. So we'll talk about it with Jenny in the next hour. We will get to some of your calls at some point, but right now I want to harp on this Israel thing for a minute more. I have not covered this at great length. Okay, when it first happened that week, October 7th, obviously we were on it. We were on it the following week, and we've tried to stay with it to the extent that we could. But I mean this as a radio host, okay? I'm very mindful of the impact I'm having on the people who listen to the show. And I really don't want to feed you 3 hours a day if people are being slaughtered and butchered in front of their families, okay? I just, for whatever reason, I don't find it good for the mood. As a guy who does comedy for a living, we rarely open the show with a montage of people getting gunned down or droned or raped or tortured as they did in Gaza, okay? But understand this. Your former national security advisor, Robert O'Brien, He spoke to exactly what the double standard happens to be right now when it comes to framing attitudes between Israel and Hamas. And make no mistake about it, members of the liberal media, members of the Hamas caucus, are trying to create a moral equivalency between Israel and Hamas, meaning, oh, they're just guilty of the same things. No, they're not. Okay, Hamas is intentionally targeting civilians, trying to kill them when they attack and making sure they get killed when Israel responds, because that high cost of civilian casualties frames Israel as some type of aggressor, when in truth, again, I promise you this is the case. In any other administration, if heaven forbid there was a terror attack against us, we're coming back with whatever the hell we want. When the whistle blows, anything goes. Okay, that's what it means when you're going to be the team that nobody wants to play. You don't poke the bear, because the bear doesn't come out of the cave and steal your picnic basket. The bear comes out of the cage and kills everybody on the hiking trail. Everybody. And they don't kill him in a nice way, because they want the other people to understand the bear doesn't like to be poked. That's our job, is to turn people into ash. As the late, great Rush Limbaugh used to say, the military's job is to break stuff and kill people. Now we've, you know, got a military that's certainly capable, but the woke leadership is prioritizing, like, hurt feelings. I say this all the time. 20 years from now, we're going to have a military that's rolling onto the battlefield in solar-powered tanks with coexist bumper stickers on the back. Hey, there's no home here. That's what we're dealing with. But you understand, when you give a voice, as this White House did, do you remember when 130 staffers signed a letter condemning their hostilities towards Hamas? And they're like, this is genocide. They don't know what genocide is. Okay, do you know what the Muslim population in Gaza has done since 2004? It has quadrupled. Genocide reduces the amount of a specific race of people. Okay, under this so-called genocide, the population has quadrupled. So are we dealing with a genocide? Of course not. Okay, but I'll play this one more time, and then we'll get into the other clips. This is Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton, Democratic president, explaining to an audience exactly what Hamas does. Now, Bill Clinton can't say this right now in this day and age, because it's no longer fashionable to admit the truth. When you run in a lane of identity politics, everything is reduced to, well, the darker skins are the victims, the lighter skins are the oppressors, and what are we even discussing here? Just because the darker-skinned Hamas people paraglided in, killed a few thousand people, and lit kids on fire doesn't mean they're not the victims here. That's what they're doing in this moment.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
Are we ever? But here is Bill Clinton speaking the truth when it was still legal to do so in his party. Clip 9.
Hamas is really smart. When they decide to rocket Israel, they insinuate themselves in the hospitals, in the schools, in the highly populous areas. And they are smart.
And the crowd claps.
So they try to put the Israelis in a position of either not defending themselves or killing innocents. They're good at it. They're smart. They've been doing this a long time.
Do you understand? And that audience clapped. That's a liberal audience. They clapped because they appreciated the candor. And they also appreciated the fact that he was siding with Israel, something we have always done in this country until we got a completely transactional human into the White House. The problem with traditional politicians and the reason they look so bad in the social media era is you can fact check everything they say against previous positions and see how fluid their beliefs are. You know, for an example, I mean, one thing, you know, recent was probably vaccine mandates.
No, I don't think it should be mandatory. I wouldn't demand to be mandatory. But
Whoa. No, I don't think it would be mandatory. I wouldn't make it mandatory.
You are so full of shit.
But that's what Biden said before making it mandatory, firing you from your job. I don't know. Let me give you another good example, because there's a lot of this. You know, Joe Biden obviously is a big supporter of gay marriage. Here he was the year before he came out in favor of gay marriage.
I can't believe the American people can't see through this. We already have a law. The Defense of Marriage Act, where we've all voted, not where I voted and others said, look, marriage is between a man and a woman, and states must respect that. Nobody's violated that law. There's been no challenge to that law. Why do we need a constitutional amendment? Marriage is between a man and a woman. What's the game going on here?
Well, that principle didn't stand long. And again, I'm not telling you to be against gay marriage. I'm just telling you, these people are moored to nothing. They have no values. Their values are getting reelected. They'll say anything to do it. Do you remember this montage? This is from 1987.
I went to law school on a full academic scholarship, the only one in my class to have a full academic scholarship. Went back to law school and, in fact, ended up in the top half of my class. I was the outstanding student in the political science department at the end of my year. I graduated with 3 degrees from undergraduate school and 165 credits, only needed 123 credits.
Biden now concedes he did not graduate in the top half of his law school class, that he does not have 3 degrees from college, and that he was not named outstanding political science student in college.
So I guess we have some issues.
Yeah, he was forced out of the race for that one. But understand, okay, that's who he is. He's unmoored. He's no principles. I mean, he is a garbage human being. Okay, and you'd have to be to side with Hamas. Here's Robert O'Brien, former national security advisor, talking about the double standard when it comes to Israel and Hamas killing civilians. Clip 7.
The deaths of these aid workers is tragic, but it's on Hamas. I mean, Hamas is the maniacal terrorist organization that went into Israel on October 7th, killed women and children, burned people to death, slaughtered kids in front of their parents, parents in front of their children. I mean, this was a terrible thing. It's Hamas that put those Palestinians in Gaza at risk, and it's Hamas that is using them as human shields and using aid workers as human shields.
So think about that. Hamas, as Bill Clinton said when it was legal to say so in his party, Hamas is using people as human shields. So yes, people die because you cannot retaliate against Hamas without killing civilians because they embed themselves with civilians. So I know some of you are compassionate people in the audience and you go, well, then I guess we just don't attack. But that's not how it works. Hamas just paraglided into town and killed 2,500 unarmed people. Okay, so when we say, oh, give us a ceasefire, understand Hamas is holding 133 hostages, some of whom are American, and we're just supposed to walk away about with no regard.
You cannot be serious.
Just say to the world. So I understand, what was the criticism a year ago? We paid Iran a $5 billion bounty to get back some of our hostages. Now we've gone from here's $5 billion. Okay, we don't even want them. Like, we are completely unprincipled as a country. That's the point, okay? We look like idiots. But let me give you a little more, okay? Because if you didn't hear this earlier in the week, here is Dearborn, Michigan, talking about death to America and everything in between. And this is the political faction that Joe Biden is appeasing by calling for a ceasefire. Clip 10.
And this is why Imam Khomeini, who declared the International Day of Quds, this is why he would say to pour all of your chants and all of your shouts upon the head of America.
Al-Mawti America! Al-Mawti America! Al-Mawti America!
I mean, think about that, man. They're chanting, just the translation. Death to America, 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 death to America. That's what they're chanting. OK, as you'd imagine, a lot of people who heard this were pretty jarred. So they asked KJP about it yesterday at the White House.
She is so bad at her job.
Well, she didn't get any better at it yesterday. Here's Jackie Hendrick, clip 12.
A couple days ago in Dearborn, there were protesters chanting death to America and death to Israel. Does the president condemn that?
Yes.
Is the president at all concerned that Dearborn is becoming, is facing a risk of becoming a hotbed of any sort of homegrown threats?
I don't have any intelligence to share with you on that. Obviously, that's something that we're always very vigilant about, but don't have any national intelligence to share with you. But obviously, we will condemn any violent rhetoric, which we have been very. I mean, you're hearing from me, right? You're asking me a question, I'm answering it, and we've been very vigilant about, or very consistent about denouncing that type of rhetoric.
Oh, man.
You were lying your ass off.
They haven't been terribly consistent because half of the liberal end of Congress, the squad, is pretty pro-Hamas right now. Here's the follow-up. She's asked if there'll be a statement from Biden, clip 13.
Should we expect a statement from the president on that, though? I mean, it was a pretty significant display.
I mean, you're hearing from me. I think that's important. The other part, too, that I do want to be very clear about, you know, peaceful protest is something that the president has also been very, very clear that is important to give folks space to peacefully protest. But any type of violent rhetoric, we are going to denounce.
I mean,
are you stupid or something?
Yes, she is. Any type of violent rhetoric, we're going to denounce. They're chanting death to America. Like, wipe out the whole country. Does that not, I don't know, I'm not an expert here, I don't want to get into a semantic debate, but death to America, wipe out the whole country, it sounds pretty violent.
I think he's got a point.
I mean, when was the last time anybody in the audience was like throwing a party? And when you sent out the save the date to get everybody in the good mood to make plans to come over, you chanted death to all of you. I mean, where I come from, I'm old fashioned, I'm 47 years old. Death to America is pretty violent. I mean, because I don't know of a death that isn't. Okay, it involves death. You die. Okay, you're not going to wipe America off the map pretty much any way, other way without killing us. I mean, the smartphone, though, is going to be a close second to that. You give us all the social media and all the stupidity we're engaging in. But this is the biggest problem we have, is you can't take any of this stuff, any of these people seriously. Okay, she just said with a straight face, we'll condemn any violent rhetoric. They're chanting death to America. Okay, not good. Okay, but to take it a step further, okay, they did this in Dearborn, Michigan, where, as I told you earlier, I played you the AOC clip, Dearborn, Michigan is where they voted uncommitted in the primaries. Dearborn, Michigan is where Biden has a huge political liability on his hands because he wants to win Michigan. So he can't condemn people chanting death to the very country he himself wants to be the leader of. That in itself should be disqualifying.
Get him out of here. Get him out.
You're listening to the man with the fashion sense that's all his own.
Looks like a gay bag lady.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, trying to hold this country together during the dumbest time there has ever been to be alive.
We have people in Washington that don't know what they're doing.
Really wild stuff. And we're going to talk about in the next hour. Jenny Failla is coming by. I'm going to give you some financial survival tips because the inflation numbers, I'll read them at the top of the next hour. Whew. Forecast calls for a lot of January 6 footage on MSNBC today. Whenever things go bad for Biden, that's what you get. You're like, well, democracy, Trump or something. This is Biden. He did it. Biden did an interview yesterday.
I don't remember that ever happening.
That's where all the anti-Israel talk came from, the sound bites we were playing you earlier. Okay, but Biden, here he is, saying Trump is the biggest threat to democracy with a straight face. Clip 16.
What, in your view, constitutes the primary threat to freedom and democracy at home?
Donald Trump. Seriously. Donald Trump uses phrases like, you're going to eviscerate the Constitution. He's going to be a dictator on day one.
God. Had it or hit it, Donald Trump totally had it. And right now, Donald Trump is telling us that he wants to be a dictator.
There is no dog whistle. It is like a gigantic bark.
I don't think it's hyperbolic to say this genuinely could be the last Democratic election we ever have.
You're right. Democracy, extraordinarily fragile.
Yeah.
It's only as strong as our willingness to fight for it.
She's worse than Kamala.
Well, then there's Kamala, who is
Kamala is a lying sociopath. Fact checked.
The woman said with a straight face, I think this could be our last election.
That was embarrassing.
These are the people, by the way, trying to ban their political opponent from the ballot and throw him in jail before the election. No, we can't elect him. He might do what we're doing.
Democrats are so full of crap.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, you bet it is. Jimmy's fired up for this hour of Fox Across America.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
I don't know that I'm mad, but I'm concerned because I'm one of these people in media that relates more to the listener, that relates more to the viewer than he does to the people around him in media, if only because I've spent more time as one of you than I have as a nationally syndicated talk show host or the host of the number one comedy show on Saturday nights. Hey, girl, not too bad. Not too shabby, but it's very important to remember, as I remind you to the point of exhaustion every day, I was a very, very broke cab driver, working 84 hours a week, getting cut off and shot at in a New York City taxi, clotheslined by pantless time travelers and the likes. So I have great empathy for people out there trying to get by on a day like today when the inflation numbers come out. And we were told by the White House they were going to lower. 3 years ago, Janet Yellen came on the show. We played you the soundbite. She wasn't on my show. She was just talking to reporters. And what did she say? She said, well, inflation is transitory. Won't be here long.
You are so full of shit.
It's 3 years ago, guys. 3 years ago. It's still here. Your core price index, core prices rising 3.5% in the month of March.
That can't be good.
Okay. Do you understand why that is significant, though? Okay. Because that's the broad measure of everyday goods, gasoline, groceries, rent. Prices increased 3.5% last month, above the 3.2% figure recorded in February. But do you understand, in February, it increased. So you understand, you paid more. But the White House tells you, oh, inflation is down, you see.
This is politics as usual.
No. When inflation is not rising at the rate they expected it to, they consider that a decrease. You dig? It's like when they say they cut spending in Washington. They've increased spending every month that Biden has been in office. But the way they frame it is they get on TV, they go, well, we were going to spend $10 trillion this month, but we only spent $9 trillion that we didn't have. Ergo, spending is down.
That is a fact check false.
It's how they frame it. So prices rose by 3.5% last month. But the White House put out a statement saying inflation's down 60% since we off its high when we took office. But here's a newsflash. You're still paying more and that number is going up. And the gas prices back up 40 cents a gallon in the last month, 50% higher than they were when Biden took office.
You gotta do better than that.
So you understand, as a guy who was a broke cab driver in this hour, I'm going to bring on the woman who was cohabitating with me at our brokest moments, talking about Jenny Fallah. And we'll have a chat with you about how we stretch money, what we did, because I know some of you guys are going through it. I mean, and that sucks, man. It sucks. It doesn't mean you can't get through it. It doesn't mean you won't persist. You won't Joe Frazier your way out of this. Eat a bunch of jabs till you land that one left hook and get back on your feet. We know how this works. You know I love to give the Joe Frazier speech. You might hear it again before the end of the show, the way things are going.
I admire your honesty.
But understand, when they get on the air and tell you, oh, no, it's going good. It's just a messaging problem. They're demonstrating a level of indifference to you that I can't abide. I can't just sit here and be like, yeah, no, let's go and get some messaging. Guys, let me explain this to you, okay? When it comes to the economy, the messaging is not derived from Fox News. It's not derived from CNN. It's not derived from MSNBC. The messaging is derived from that bank balance.
Correctamundo.
The messaging is derived from the cost at the cash register.
Correctamundo.
You understand? The messaging is the price you see on the shelf when you go to buy eggs.
Correctamundo.
So when you hear them try to say things like, oh, no, it's the messaging. They're not giving us credit. Bah! Okay, that's a real indifference to what you're going through. I don't have that. I don't have that capability. Okay, that's why I'm not meant to do hard news. I would process hard news, or I probably wouldn't. I'd make jokes about it and get fired immediately because there's two people. I'm 47. There's two people my age, two completely different types of people, but there's only two. Okay, if you were in fourth grade and you watched the Space Shuttle Challenger explode on live television with the rest of your classroom, you either stayed in the classroom weeping for the next 2 days or you ran out into the schoolyard and started telling dirty jokes about the Space Shuttle Challenger. And I know that might not sit well with a lot of people listening, but you understand we all grieve differently. And for a lot of people like me, okay, who recognize the true power of comedy, it's its ability to process heavy stuff, to take away your torments for a few seconds of time by laughing at them. That's where the term gallows humor comes from. It's people who are literally being tortured to death who are laughing about the conditions they find themselves in because it's a coping mechanism. You know, if you were a New Yorker in the aftermath of September 11th, okay, you might have been devastated and shell-shocked like the rest of us, but there was also a percentage of us that processed it by going to the comedy clubs. A week after September 11th, when the comedy clubs reopened, guess what we were all talking about? September 11th. We weren't mocking the victims. But we were certainly making fun of the way, you know, the news had changed and it had gotten so heavy-handed. We were making fun of the increased security. We were making fun of the way our entire way of life had been totally uprooted. We were voicing our misgivings. And we were coping. That's what we were doing. So do you understand, I'm not really cut out to just sit here and process this stuff at face value because I understand how much hurt is associated with what we're talking about. Okay, as a cab driver whose wife was making, making diapers. We were making diapers. Okay, because that's how broke we were. Okay, I know what it's like to get crushed by high prices. And, you know, luckily for me, you're talking about 07, 08, 09, 2010, 2011, 2012. Okay, we weren't getting hit by the government. Okay, you guys are getting hit worse than we are. So I do have a lot of empathy, and we are discussing it. But here is Larry Kudlow. Larry Kudlow's on Hannity the other night. Talking about the truth behind the Biden economic numbers. Why is this consequential, as I mentioned on Monday? Because when they rave about the economy, they're metrics that don't affect you. When it comes to job creation, American workers have lost 2.5 million jobs this year. Foreign-born workers have added over 1 million jobs in the workforce. Okay, that's what you're dealing with right now. Americans down 2.5 million, foreigners up 900,000.
But buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
And we don't understand, begrudge them the desire to come here and make a better life for themselves. We don't. But sadly, that open border comes at a detriment to the American laborer because, number one, it drives down the cost of labor. Okay. Number two, in a lot of instances, it just flat out costs you your job. But when you talk about small businesses, when you talk about inflation, when you talk about the effect this has on people busting their ass to do the right thing, nobody speaks to it more articulately than Larry Kudlow, who was an economic advisor under Trump when tax cuts made the lowest 80% of income earners the highest accelerants of household wealth. Specifically, the lowest 20% experienced the highest gains because of the Trump tax cuts. Democrats will spin it as an economic sellout to the rich because class warfare, like racism and everything else they peddle, it caters to intellectually lazy people who run on moral superiority. They don't want to think critically. They just want to be told in the simplest of terms how they're better than you, how they're smarter than the people in the middle of the country who have the more affordable housing and the lower taxes and the lower cost of living. No, no, those people are stupid. The people who have cheap new houses, who don't have a guy fondling himself on the subway every time they go to take their kids to school, there's some hobbit with his hands down his pants. You know what I'm saying? I mean, nah, those are the dumb people. Believe me, they're dumb with the low taxes and the lower crime. You'd have to be an idiot, okay? But that's the way they look at things. But the truth is, if you're looking at dollars and cents, if you're looking at the cold hard metrics of this economy, it's annihilating everybody, unless you're really rich or you're running a drug cartel, a human trafficking entity down at the border. Here's Kudlow talking about the impact. Clip 36.
The economy is not as strong as some of these numbers suggest. And I think the small business survey you cited was very important. Inflation was up in that survey, and economic activity was down. On the jobs report, about half of the top line number was government jobs. The top line was about 300,000. However, about 150,000 were government or government-related jobs. That's really quite something. And you're right. The part-time workers, I think there were plus 700,000. Full-time workers are actually down. This is all very strange and suggests, as banker Jamie Dimon suggested the other day or yesterday, things may not be quite as strong as they appear to be.
Understand that. And they're not quite as strong as they appear to be. Americans losing jobs. Foreign-born laborers are gaining jobs. Okay, inflation, the stuff you pay for, housing, rent, gasoline, stuff, is up. You're paying more. That's not a good economy. It's a bad economy. It's a bad time to be you. Okay, here is Shannon Montepe talking about the new prices at McDonald's. Okay, clip 38.
Okay, so it's $25.39 for 40-piece nuggets and two large fries. You couldn't even throw in the Sprite. You couldn't even throw in, like, a medium Sprite in there. Holy crap.
Did you hear that? $25.39. For a 40-piece McNugget, two large fries. Now you say, all right, that'll feed two people, okay? McDonald's prices, fast food, okay, is popular because it's good and it's cheap, okay? It's not cheap anymore. You're approaching restaurant prices now, when you're talking about $25. You can go into Applebee's, and there's a value menu where the two of you are going to eat for $25. And you're going to sit at Applebee's. You're not going to eat it in your car, with all due respect to McDonald's. The point is, everything is worse, and their only remedy is to tell you that somehow, okay, you're all doing better.
Come on, don't bullshit me.
But that's exactly what they're doing, because it's all they can do in a moment like this when it's their policies that happen to be screwing you the hardest. We'll discuss it next on Fox Across America.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, Jenny Failla, right around the corner. Here's the updated stat we were talking about off the top of the hour. Over the last 3 months, the core price index, these are the things you buy that matter. Food, you know what I mean? Gas, grocery, stuff like that. Core price index has risen at a 4.6% annual rate.
Biden is such a disaster.
And I say that because it's faster than any 3 month period from August 1991 to the year 2020. So you understand, okay, this outpaces COVID. This outpaces, you know, the economic rebound that came after the lockdowns. We're now rising at a higher rate, than we had previously risen during any of the COVID-related inflation or the runaway spending that was going on, okay, in D.C. This is just Biden, okay, tanking the economy.
Get him out of here. Get him out.
Okay, over the last 12 months, okay, core price index has risen 3.5%, which is also faster than any 12-month period from February of 93 to 2020. So you understand, February 93, okay, that's Bill Clinton territory. That's back in the era where they had ways to manage inflation. Like if there was a shortage of humidors, you could use an intern instead.
I believe that together we can make America great again.
And the reason I harp on stuff like this is there's certain issues that pop with me as a radio host. You know, pretty much you got to play the teams on the schedule. You get on the air every day, whatever's happening, you're going to cover it. But the issues you'll always hear me most passionate about are the border, because obviously the drugs coming across the border represent an existential threat to the youth in this country. And I'm raising one of them. I've got the link, man, growing up in an entirely different era than the one I grew up in. You know, I wasn't a big drug user growing up. I drank beer. OK, but I knew a lot of recreational drug users and none of them died. Okay, you know, if someone overdosed, it's because they really took a terrible amount of drugs and it eventually caught up with them. Nowadays, recreational drug users do drugs once and die because of the record level of fentanyl poisoning us at the border. And then, of course, there's tens of thousands of kids getting sex trafficked. And there's a lot of crime. There's a lot of violence coming into our country because of the border. So I'm passionate about that issue because I can see the primal threat it poses. The same goes with something like inflation. It's one of the reasons you'll hear my wife in the next segment is, you know, Jenny and I are survivors. And I talk about my story a lot on the air because I'm trying to remind people that I have been in the position you might find yourself in today, where you have no idea how you're going to get by or where the money's going to come from. The difference between you and me is I did not have this bureaucratic boot on my neck the way a lot of you do now. Okay, fuel prices were high when I was driving a cab under Obama. If you remember when the fuel prices really spiked, we were flat out getting annihilated by the fuel prices under Obama.
I don't see you doing any better in the booty department.
But we're back there again now. And one of the reasons why is Biden initially drained the strategic petroleum reserves because they were trying to address poor poll numbers heading into the midterms. But have they actually replenished those reserves?
The answer would be no.
The answer would be no. So you understand we're in a position right now where your gas prices are going up, your strategic petroleum reserves are going down, and understand they weren't there in the first place to help Biden with his poll numbers. They were there because the strategic petroleum reserves, those energy reserves, are there for an act of God, like Mother Nature or birthing person nature does something and restricts our refinery capacity. Or you've got, you know, a war or heaven forbid something going on that puts a stress on our ability to produce energy. We have reserves. But in this day and age, they've decimated the reserves because they were trying to get people off their back heading into the midterms.
Biden sucks.
Really does. Because now you've got rising prices at the pump, up 40 cents in the last month alone. And then you've got this dueling reality that inflation and the core price index now rising at a rate we haven't seen since the early 90s. Okay, this stuff matters to me. This is where I'll throw a lot of my energy because I can really relate to this. You know, I can real I know what it's like, and I'm about to bring on a woman who knows what it's like to get by. And the point is, we share that story partly because we're empathetic to going what you're going through, but mostly because we do want people to understand you will get through it. You know, news, politics, the 24-hour, you know, social media, endless hamster wheel of oversharing we all live on now. It has a way of making people a prisoner of the moment. And you get out of bed feeling like the way you feel today is the only way you're ever going to feel. That's not the case. Okay, you're going to keep going. You're going to Joe Frazier your way out of this thing because that's what life is in the long run. We're all Joe Frazier. Do you remember how Joe Frazier is a boxer, smoking Joe Frazier out of Philly? He was going to eat a million jabs a night because he was a smaller fighter, but he was a persistent fighter. And he'd take a million jabs to the head because he'd eventually get close enough to land that left hook. And now you were on your back and he was the heavyweight champion of the world. Well, that is exactly what life is in a nutshell. Okay, we're all Joe Frazier. Jab, 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 jab. You eat so many jabs. But every once in a while, you get close enough to land that left hook, and now you got the world right where you want it.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
Okay, and, you know, that's a lot of what's going on here. The problem is we now have a DC, we now have a government that is the one hitting you with the jabs. That's the biggest problem we have in this moment. Okay, your fuel prices are higher because of the government. Your inflation is higher because of the government. Okay, is your crime situation worse? Yeah, because of the government. Is the drug situation worse? Yeah, because of the government. Is the government doing anything to fix any of this stuff in this? No, and that's why, you know, elections matter to the extent that they do. Because you're living in a world right now, okay, where you have an administration that is prioritizing everything out there but you.
Correct the mundo.
We'll discuss it all with Jenny Failla when we come back on Fox Across America.
It's America's Life Coach, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. If the band sounds fired up, it's because they are. Joining us now in studio, a two-time winner of the Yellow Jacket on Fox News Saturday night. And that contest completely above board, despite the protest of Kevin Walling.
That's true.
Jenny Failla, you would say you earned that jacket.
I did.
You beat Walling fair and square.
Well, we tied, technically.
Did you, though?
Yeah, it said it on the screen at the bottom.
But the arbitrary nature of the Yellow Jacket is that the game counts towards overall points.
Okay.
In addition to your overall performance.
Okay.
And the fact that you sat there and were relentlessly hit on by a gay man, a man who's he's married. He just got married a month ago. He married a man. He's clearly conflicted in this moment now. He loves his husband, Alex. But Kevin Walling was a big fan of yours. Did he get handsy under the table? I couldn't say.
No, stop.
Be honest. Jenny Failla in studio. She's got a handprint on her right butt cheek. And I can assure you it's not mine. We're married 20 years.
Nope.
I ain't going near you. I'm kidding. I love you, Jenny. Great to see you. So the conversation I've been having with our listener today is about inflation, because we just got the new inflation numbers this month. The core price index has rose by about 3.4%. So when we talk about the core price index, obviously we're talking about things you buy at the grocery store.
Yeah.
You know, and gas and things in between. Mm-hmm. And I bring you on to talk about this issue because I think more than anything, prices and finance have been the biggest challenge we've faced.
Oh, yeah.
Aside from the fact that you don't see me as a human. I'm just a piece of meat.
That's true.
Jenny. I've got feelings. I've got opinions. You should listen to me from time to time.
Just can't help myself.
Stop undressing me with your eyes. Actually, stop dressing me with your eyes.
Michael, how about you put on this coat? This
she is keeps dressing me. Jenny, it's 70 degrees out.
I've got a look like an Eskimo.
I've got a scarf on. Anyway, but when it comes to this, I mean, the first leg of this is that I like to remind the listeners that we have been on the absolute worst end of this.
Oh my goodness. Like the jobs we've done. Like,
oh no.
I mean, just like, you know, like we'd both have jobs, but then like I'd always have like a secondary side gig. You were always working multiple jobs, mm-hmm. you know, there was always something extra beyond like our main job.
Do you realize like probably like during the first 5 years of our life, not probably more than that, for the first 5 years of Lincoln's life, at least when we were in the home we rented, mm-hmm. I was coming home from the city at some like 10 or 11 at night, having done like two or three things, driven a cab, done stand up.
Written,
worked on some writing project.
Yep.
And you would be home from nannying, but be making a cake for someone or doing some type of furniture work.
Up till 2 a.m. trying to finish a cake.
Seriously, 2 or 3 a.m. and then waking up at 7 a.m. And like that was our life for a long time.
It was.
And you'd think like getting your own TV show and radio show would improve my hours. No, as it turns out, as it turns out, no. It's crazier than ever. But now there's like planes involved and they serve you alcohol on them. I'm not complaining. This is not a cry for help. But it is a reminder to everybody listening that you do persist through this stuff. But I feel a special frustration for people right now, because what's going on is like the problems, okay, we faced. Mm-hmm. We're just, you know, we're starting a family.
Yep.
You know, we didn't have a hell of a whole lot of money, but we, you know, knew what we wanted to do and we were willing to work for it. But we weren't doing it in the face of like a 40-year high in inflation.
No.
Like, I truly feel for people right now, because you know this when you go to the grocery store.
Oh, my goodness.
We're shocked by what we're paying.
Shocked for, like, what you pay for what you're getting.
Yeah.
Like, it is insane. Like, portions are smaller. Yeah. Everything is so much more money.
Shrinkflation.
Yeah.
Which, for those of you not, shrinkflation is the Wonder Bra of potato chips. The bag makes you think you got a lot more chips, and then you take off that Wonder Bra, and you're like, hey, where'd all the chips go?
It's all air.
They're stuffing the bras. But the point is, you know, when I see that, obviously, I feel for people greatly. And it's something that I've noticed in every sector of my life. And now gas is going back up, too. Mm. And what drives me crazy, and this is, you know, something I wanted to speak to you about, is that, you know, in politics, you kind of have to be indifferent to the damage you're doing. Because part of getting elected is convincing people this is going well and I know what I'm doing.
Right. You would almost have to be.
Yeah. But is there anything more inflammatory? As you and I both know, you go to a cash register, you're paying more.
Yeah.
Is there anything more inflammatory than a White House telling people, no, the economy's good, it's just the messaging's bad.
Like, that's insane. Like, I want to know where they're shopping. Like, I want to actually see receipts.
Well, they're not.
You know,
that's
like
the hook.
Like, I want to see receipts. I know. Literally, I want to see receipts.
They're not shopping.
They're so out.
Yeah, you're living in a White House. People are buying your groceries.
Exactly.
Because again, when you say the messaging, it's not the messaging people get on CNN, MSNBC, or even Fox News. It's the messaging you get in your bank account.
Right.
It's the messaging
you don't
you
need
get.
Anybody to tell you. Yeah. You see it yourself.
We don't have a messaging problem. We have a cash register problem.
You know, I hate the term gaslighting, but this is gaslighting at its finest. Like, and you're just trying to tell somebody, no, you don't know what you're talking about. No, it's better.
And gaslighting
is
up 40 cents a gallon. Yeah. Expensive gaslighting, which is what's going on. Jenny Fail is in studio. We're having a little grown-up chat about inflation. So the number is, and this is what's crazy, the core price index is up in the last 3 months 4%. 4% is higher than any rate since the 90s, okay?
Wow.
Which is a long time.
Right.
So the one thing I wanted to talk to you about was our survival skills and ways we could kind of help people save money. Mm-hmm. I think first and foremost, the big one is meal prep, because cooking saves you so much money on groceries.
That's a big deal. Yeah. Meal prep. There's so many resources right now, and I use them at the same time too, like Pinterest and different things like that, where you can even get with your friends and you all purchase, you know, like so many pounds of chicken, so many pounds of this, and you can make ahead like freezer meals, like for crock pots or whatever. But when you buy it in bulk like that, it's cheaper. But sometimes, like if you're buying it yourself in bulk, that's a lot of money to put out like right at once.
Up front.
But if you get a couple friends together and you do it, you make it like a thing and you swap different recipes. I mean, that's definitely a way to cut down costs.
Yeah, it matters. You know, I mean, I don't know that they all have newborns, but we were flat out cloth diapering our child.
Cloth diapering. I made his food. Yeah.
I don't remember that part.
I made his baby food. Are you kidding?
I wasn't home.
Well, that's true.
I don't know. I didn't formally introduce myself till he was 7.
I mean, I nursed him in the beginning, which helped.
Yeah.
But, you know, definitely with a cost. But, you know, when he started having baby food, I mean, I would supplement. I wouldn't exclusively make all of his baby food, but I made a lot of it.
Well, you made
sweet potatoes. Like he loved.
I remember the sweet potatoes.
Loved the sweet potatoes so much that he turned orange. Like his skin had turned orange a little bit. But the pediatrician was like, "No, no." She's like, "Are you feeding him carrots? Or are you feeding him sweet potatoes? Because it'll happen. It's fine."
That is funny, and it was good because he's like 7'3".
Yeah, I guess it worked.
So you made a good batch. That is funny. You know, I think the other thing for a lot of people, and this might be, you know, it's about efficiency. And I think, you know, when you think about like running errands, when you think about places you got to go, mm-hmm. I always tell people to plan their days more concisely.
Yeah.
You know, because it'll, you know, maybe cut down on fuel use.
Right.
And it sucks to be thinking in those terms.
Right.
But the point is you can make your life easier. You know, mm-hmm. you can, you know, we always say like life is a series of baton passes.
Yeah.
Where a younger you passes the baton to a slightly older you who passes the baton to a slightly older you. If you make these smart decisions now, you'll be better off down the road.
Yeah.
And I think the one thing people need to realize in this moment is you can help yourself. You know, mm-hmm. the government's not going to.
Right.
Government is not helping. Right. Prices aren't coming down between now and election day. Like when they're flat out telling you, oh, it's good and you know it's bad.
Right.
These are not people in the business of helping you.
No.
It's an election year. They're in the election business.
Right.
And that's just the way it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So what I think people need to do more in this moment than ever is be proactive in thinking of terms, ways they can help themselves. Because even to the unemployment situation. Okay, the White House keeps bragging about unemployment numbers. But as we learned in this latest batch of unemployment numbers, okay, every single job added either went to a foreign-born migrant or was part-time. We did not add full-time work for American citizens in the last 3 months.
Wow.
Okay, we've seen 2.5 million jobs get cut.
Yeah.
Yet again, they'll get on TV and be like, it's going great.
Right.
What we're trying to say, folks, is if you don't love yourself, nobody's gonna. Nobody is gonna love yourself. Next survival segment we've got to get into. Our dog is on Fox News Saturday night this weekend. Folks, the Dog Whisperer is going to be on the show.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, some people would argue that I've booked two dogs in a row.
Hey.
I was talking about Corinne. Wow, Jenny.
You were not. I saw that look.
Shots fired. Lincoln would have fist bumped me for that joke.
Would've.
Lincoln
would have
loved that.
Would've.
But our dog is going to be on with the Dog Whisperer Saturday night. Something I was told is that they don't actually train the dogs. They train the people.
Oh, yeah.
That they say, like, most of the things the dog is doing is a result of what the people does.
Right.
So does that mean you and I are about to get a beat down on national television?
Well, no, I'm going to be behind the scenes. That's you. I'm avoiding hair and makeup so that no one puts me in front of a camera.
So you're saying I got to take the beat down?
Yes, you do. No, they just tell you because you want it to be sustainable. I mean, he's not a magician.
Yeah.
He knows exactly how to read your dog. I used to watch the show, but you need to carry on those lessons. So they're training you to be able to continue the lessons.
Okay. So it's kind of like, it's like half a human intervention.
Oh, yeah.
Aww.
Yeah.
How do you think the pup's going to do?
I don't know. I mean, he's a sweet guy, but I mean, he's never like been live on TV before.
He's never
like,
on TV. Does the dog get hair and makeup?
I was thinking that. Like, I give him a bath. Uh-huh. Like, I did that part here. But
like, tease his hair a little bit, give him a little something.
I don't know.
Because that might bother him.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. What we're going to do with him is we're going to put him on the desk on the show.
On the top of it?
Yeah, which I was like, that might freak him out, make him think he's going to the vet.
Yeah.
But because we're training him about relaxing going to the vet, that might
know.
Be how
he might be slippery. He might try to jump off.
I know. I thought about that. But I think
he's
if I'm there petting him, I know.
He's too big for that.
But the issue we have is lighting. You can only stage him in certain parts of the studio because if he moves, he won't be lit. TV, Jenny.
Good thing I'm here. I'm like the PETA person.
Yeah.
That they always put on the set of like a movie with an animal in it.
Well,
like,
I was told you just punch the snot out of him in commercial breaks.
That's why I'm here, guys. That's why I'm here.
Jenny's the dog wrangler.
Yep.
You're going to make sure he's safe.
Yep.
So your prediction is you don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm excited. I think it's going to be funny. I think the thing I'm most excited about is just bringing the dog to work.
You know.
On Thursday and Friday and Saturday.
Because
we do that
halls.
Pre-show interview Thursday. Friday we'll have the thing. And then so Saturday night, think of it this way. Okay. You and me are going to be down in Huntsville.
Huntsville. Mm-hmm.
We've got the Daniel family
mm-hmm.
and the dog they've named after our son,
mm-hmm.
which is hilarious.
I love it.
I'm really excited to meet this dog.
Yeah.
His name is Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that funny?
It's so cute.
And then Trucker Michael swears he's bringing his wife.
Yeah.
I listen, I have no idea how to feel about this because you know we're both very pro Michael on this show.
Yep.
The listeners love Michael. Like, he gets brought up in other Q&As.
Totally, totally.
People want to know, like, who's Michael and what's going on and all of that stuff.
Yep.
So that'll be exciting. Like, mm-hmm. this is kind of it's kind of a cool weekend.
I'm excited for it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we have arrived at this junction after, you know, 10 years of really being punched in the nuts in life when we talk about the economy and inflation and everything out there. So everybody listening, just don't be beaten down, okay? Because as hard as this feels, you know, you too can persevere to a point where you've recognized some type of ridiculous dream in life, as mm-hmm. we have, okay? And make it no mistake about it. Like, Jenny and I are there. We almost have enough money to separate. Okay, we're like, couple more of these tour dates.
Almost, man.
Couple more of these tour dates. We won't have to fake any slip and falls at Fox. We'll just flat out do it on our own merit. I kid.
You're stuck. Sorry.
Jenny Fela. We love you, babe. There she goes. The great Jenny Fela. You know her. You love her. You'll see her in Huntsville Saturday night.
Get her out. Get her out of here.
Jimmy Fela.
Nice kid, but a little dumb.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Fela.
It's Fox Across America with Jimmy Fela. How about another hand for Jenny Fela? Oh, it's a tough crowd in the green room. I kid, but if you want to see Jenny in person Saturday night, Huntsville, Alabama. We were at the Mars Music Hall. You'll see Jenny. You'll see the Link Man. The whole Jackson 3 live in person. Trucker Michael in the house. We're excited about it. I'm excited to meet Michael. That's a big deal to me. And, of course, the Daniel family and their dog Lincoln. I mean, that really matters. We have... And I want credit for this. They had reached out to me and told me they named their dog after my kid. This was, I mean, sheesh, probably almost 4 years ago. They said, hey, Jimmy, we're naming our dog after your son.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
No, stop it. Lincoln's a good kid. And we're excited about the dog. But we've been, you know, angling to get down there. And it's funny because when this started... I was hosting radio. I wasn't doing as much TV. My life, my schedule, the pace has picked up quite a bit in the last 3 years. In a good way, I'm not complaining. I'm very happy. I'm very thankful. I am teeming with gratitude every second of my life. I walk down the street saying thank you to the universe. But despite the increased demand on TV and travel and everything in between, we had made a campaign promise that we would get down there and meet that dog. And dang it, we are going to get down there and we are going to meet that dog. So we're excited, and that is this weekend. And if you'd like to be a part of it, it is the Mars Music Hall. The tickets available at foxacrossamerica.com, where you can also find tickets to everything else we're doing. We're going to be in Indianapolis in June. We don't talk about that a lot, but my schedule is psychotic the rest of the way. We're in Fargo next week. If you're listening on the flag, WZFG, next Saturday night, April the 20th, I am in Fargo doing the damn thing with the Fargo people.
That can't be good.
No, it's not good. They're going to be rowdy. It's going to be nuts. Week after that, we're going down to the D.C. swamp. We're doing my TV show live from the White House Correspondents' Dinner. So we will be sitting there on the set, on the red carpet, surrounded by all the, you know, the deep staters and the big media people and everything in between. The
media is a bunch of losers.
Well, you'll see all of them on my show that night. It's going to be nuts. And then, of course, we head down to Sarasota, Florida, May 10th. Excuse me, May 11th. That's a Saturday night. And then May the 12th, we are in Orlando at the Plaza Live. Shout out to all our DBO listeners. Come see me at the Plaza Live on Mother's Day. You're going to see my mom. You're going to see Jenny's mom. You're going to see Jenny Fela. Like, we're going deep. I'm rolling in like a rapper with an entourage. Then we go up to Boston, Schubert Theater. Definitely wearing my Red Sox, my Yankees jersey into that Red Sox den of sin. And then forget about it. We go to Indy. We go to Dallas Majestic Theater June 7th. Then we're in Pottstown, PA, June the 15th. Then we're at the Red Bank Theater. We're in Red Bank at the Count Basie Theater, June the 22nd. And then from there, my goodness gracious, Green Valley Ranch in Vegas. That's July the 5th. Then July the 13th, check this out. We are in Colorado Springs at the Pikes Peak Event Center. Then we're going down to Biloxi, Mississippi on July the 26th. And then we have a date coming in Royal Oak, Michigan in August. Not on sale yet, but we'll tell you all about it when it happens. The point is, I'm invested in this, and I get out and meet you guys. And there's no one listening right now, no one listening, who's been to a Jimmy Fallon show who could call in and say otherwise. I will meet everybody who sticks around and wants to meet me because I meant it when I said it. Like, I don't have, like, shtick. I don't have, like, a plan. Like, when I say, like, this is our movement, like, I'm not the show star of the show, we are, Like, I mean that in every sense of the word. We are the movement. I might be the guy with the dirty jokes, the funny looking sport coats, but at the end of the day, it only works because of you guys and the contribution you're making. So this is very much our thing, as it will continue to be in the next hour when Kennedy joins us on the set. I mean, one thing you need to know, and I think most of you have figured it out right now, okay, is I don't care. I don't have a political allegiance to either political party. I have a political allegiance to the truth, and I give it to you every day.
You got some big testicles to pull this off, bro.
Some would say. But the point is, you need it because it's not out there, especially in an election year. Okay, you're being told that the economy's good, even though the prices are going up and the jobs are going down. You know, you're being told, oh, the border's a Republican, talking about all of these things they're saying come from a place of indifference where they don't care. I genuinely care. You know, I don't know if that'll be the case 5 years from now. I'm upfront about that. But I get into this game from a very unique perspective, is I am not wired like the swamp where I'm just trying to tell you it's going good no matter how bad it's going.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
And I'm not one of them. So in the next hour, I will continue to be one of you.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Jimmy, here's our guy back in action. Big hour. It's Fox Across America with your radio buddy Jimmy Failla, reachable to you, the listener, at 888-788-9910. Kennedy is going to be joining us in this hour. She's, of course, in addition to being a Fox News contributor on all the platforms, now a lead columnist over at the Daily Mail. She's churning out a column on politics just about every week. World events, we'll get into that in this hour. We will also talk about, man, as it pertains to the 2024 election, a really damaging piece for the media that I think is a teachable moment for you. Meaning you, not the guy I'm staring at in the control room giving the finger right now. I mean you. I mean the listener. You. The guy listening. The gal listening. The they listening to this. The them listening to that. Whatever the heck you identify, it's fine. Okay, but the point is, there is a teachable moment. And as we get into the 2024 election and specifically the media coverage that will accompany it, there is a very teachable life moment here that travels outside of politics, beyond the beltway, as they say. So we will discuss it. 888-788-9910. And you do know the rules on this show. There is no ideological barrier for entry.
I don't care where you come from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how dumb you are.
Now, President Trump's down in Atlanta giving a speech right now. He is so fascinating. So he was just asked on the tarmac in Atlanta if he would sign a national abortion ban, to which he said no. So they said, if they put it on your desk, you would not sign it, at which point he said no. Yet the media continuing to claim in this moment that Trump wants to ban abortion.
People aren't buying it, CNN, you dumb bastard.
Trump gave a speech earlier in the week where he said he would kick it back to the states and let each individual state decide for itself, which is what you should ultimately do, because here's a reality. Okay, certain states hold different values. Some states are going to have stricter limits, like this insanity we just saw in Arizona that's taking abortion back to a time when Arizona wasn't even a state yet in 1864. It's a problem for Republicans because they don't want to run as we're going to ban abortion altogether. What most Republicans support is the Nikki Haley stance, which is why Nikki Haley's been so absent in the media. Have you noticed there's been no Nikki Haley? There's been no Trump bashing of Nikki Haley?
Ah, you have a good eye, my man.
If abortion's going to be the turnout issue for the Democrats, here's a news flash. Nikki Haley's probably going to be the vice presidential nominee.
Bingo, man, bingo.
And I know a lot of Trump, you know, voters hate her, but you don't understand how transactional Trump is as a businessman. At the end of the day, okay, you need to win. and you need the best people for the job. So whether they badmouthed you along the way or you fought with them, look back to 2016. He called Ted Cruz's wife a dog. He said she is a dog. Wound up working with Lion Ted. Little Marco, they were telling jokes about their manhood. Little Marco said Trump's John Thomas was a little...
Wrong.
Well, anyway, wound up working with him. He gave out Lindsey Graham's home phone number. Wound up working with him. Okay, Mitt Romney in his mom jeans, who craved Trump's endorsement in 2014, turned around in 2012, turned around and bashed Trump in 2016.
This guy will say anything.
But ultimately was on the verge of making him Secretary of State before he decided not to use him.
Go home to mommy. Go home. Bye. Go home to mommy. Go home to mommy.
But the point is, the Nikki Haley position, whether she's the VP or not, is the position Trump's adopting here, which is we favor limits to abortion access. We would say up until about 15 weeks. But we're not going to be in favor of bans that deny women access to abortion in the case of rape or incest, because to be honest with you, that should be their decision. Someone who has to go through something as hideous and as heinous as that, I know a lot of you ideally would like to say, well, I'll put it up for adoption, fine, but you don't have to carry that baby, and these people are entitled to their opinions. And the reality is, when it comes to polling, 80% of Americans support a 15-week limit to abortion, which is what Trump is in favor of. 98% of Americans support exemptions in cases of rape or any type of other criminality, incest. Okay, so you understand he's in line with public sentiment on the issue, and that's where this is going to end up. But I bring this point to the forefront not to have a discussion about abortion in this hour, but to explain to you that the White House lashed out at the media this week for reporting Trump's claim accurately. Trump said he wouldn't support a national abortion ban. What did the White House immediately turn around and do? They said, this guy wants to ban abortion.
You are so full of sh**.
And I'll play you the clips. And the reason I'm going to play you the clips is because there is a teachable moment here. And that the White House yelled at the media. Okay, this is fascinating. Here is the Trump clip. Let's start here. Clip 23.
My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land, in this case, the law of the state. Many states will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks, or some will have more conservative than others, and that's what they will be. At the end of the day, this is all about the will of the people. You must follow your heart or, in many cases, your religion or your faith.
So many states will be different is very clear articulation of the fact that there's not going to be a one-size-fits-all rule.
I think he's got a point.
Yeah, and the point is the White House is full of because here is Kamala Harris reacting to that statement, clip 21.
Let's all be very clear. If he were to be put back in a position where he could sign off on a law, he would sign off on a national abortion ban. Let's be very clear about that. And that obviously makes the contrast between Joe Biden and Donald Trump quite clear. We are very clear, and Joe Biden has been clear. If Congress passes a law reinstating the protections of Roe v. Wade, Joe Biden will sign it into law.
She is a fraud, a phony, a woman without a moral core, a regular two-faced, mealy-mouthed politician who swings with the wind.
But you understand this, okay? So Trump says, no, all the states will be different. They'll all pass their own laws. Kamala Harris, of course, gets in front of a microphone and says he's banning abortion.
That is a lie.
The White House took it a step further. They messaged all the media outlets on Monday and said, how dare you write the headline that Trump won't impose a national ban on abortion. That's what we say he's going to do. And ergo, you should just parrot our narrative because we're trying to win an election. And you want to know something? The USA Today and a couple of other outlets changed their headlines.
The media is a bunch of losers.
I bring that up. Why? Because you've heard this before on this show and a million other shows. Most of the elite media now are activists masquerading as journalists. The reason this is coming to the forefront is Yuri Berliner, a senior editor at NPR, burnt the whole thing down this week, writing an op-ed saying that NPR has been corrupted by liberal groupthink. They have 87 registered Democrats running the company, zero registered Republicans.
That's not right.
Not only is it not right, but it's not balanced coverage. Ergo, you lose touch with the electorate because you're not listening to the voices of half the aisle, number one. Number two, and this is the teachable moment for all of you, you need friends you disagree with. This business model of, well, they vote differently, I'm never talking to them again. Bah! That's so stupid. It's so lazy. It's so transactional. You understand, America was not built on agreement. It was built on widespread disagreement, which is why we have the Constitution that limits the government's control over our lives. Because if, heaven forbid, you gave the government ultimate authority, which it's creeping closer to getting in a lot of areas, then you're ultimately going to have a government that's not working for the people. You're going to have a people that's working for the government.
That's true. That is true.
And that's very close to where we find ourselves in this day and age. But the problem with groupthink, and the reason you need friends with multiple, you know, diversity of opinion, okay, a diversity of opinion, is because when you're in that echo chamber where every single person agrees on every single issue, then you are going to start green lighting very bad ideas because they trend well within your herd mind, okay, your hive mind. Okay, defund the police, very popular with liberals. Very popular with liberals, but let's be honest, defund the police?
Well, that's the dumbest thing I've heard of.
It's criminally stupid. Like, you should be thrown in jail for being that stupid because you're a threat to yourself and others. Okay, telling little kids they're trapped in the wrong bodies? Now even the Vatican, we have the most liberal pope who's ever lived. The Vatican has had to speak out on gender reassignment surgery. Okay, UK now throwing out a study that they're going to ban puberty blockers because you shouldn't be doing that to kids. But in the liberal worldview where they championed victimhood and told everybody they were oppressed and that became a status symbol, you're like, yeah, convince your kid he's trapped in the wrong body. You'll be at the forefront of the next civil rights movement. Deny them puberty. They don't even have to grow into their adult body. The mood they're in now is the only mood they're ever going to be in. That's what we'll do.
That is a fact check false.
Of course it is. And I've told you this all the time. Watching a child grow, I've raised one kid. We've paid attention to this kid. And as you know, my son is currently the biggest sports fan I know. Okay, 3 years ago, he hated sports. He grew into that. He evolved as a person. He had a chance to become who he is. Okay, this idea that you're selling gender conflict to a five-year-old based on the fact that you had to have beaten it into their heads because kids come out of someone else's body. Okay, they were trapped in a body. It wasn't theirs. It was somebody else's. Now they're out. They're trying to make sense of things. If you've got an adult built beating it into their head that they're trapped in the wrong body, yes, some of them might decide that they are. But if your kid is trans, it's because you made your kid trans. Your baby is not trans. It's not born trans like you beat it into their head, okay, you know, philosophically. But you understand a lot of these ideas took shape in mainstream media and academia because they weren't allowing any voices of dissent. And that's how you wind up being so grossly out of touch with America, as the media now is. That's how you wind up writing the op-ed that Yuri Berliner wrote at NPR, okay? And talks about the fact that we were just gravitating towards whatever made Trump look bad because we hated him. We didn't have any conservative voices in the huddle. So let's report the news, not as it is, but as we want it to be. Here it is, clip 24.
I think like every newsroom, every legacy media newsroom, we were shocked, disturbed, distraught, really troubled. We assumed Hillary Clinton was going to win and she didn't, and it was really an unsettling experience. But I also think, to me, it revealed that we didn't really understand a lot of what was going on in America, that we were out of touch.
I admire your honesty.
Because he's right. They didn't know what was going on in America, and I've told you this before. In the summer of 2016, everybody in the media was like, oh, look at these tweets. You believe what the guy's tweeting? He's literally Hitler. The guy who was just on NBC for the last 15 years in prime time. Okay, that's what they were doing, with no regard for the performance art and the manufactured hysteria and how it made sense to them, but it didn't make sense to anybody else.
Bingo.
Which is why what the American people were hearing when Trump was tweeting like he got paid by the insult was jobs, border security, not getting ripped off by NATO allies. They were hearing America first, and they loved it. They didn't care about the etiquette or the decorum. But in that echo chamber, that hive mind in elite media, they completely you forget, read the room. They weren't in the room. Here's the rest of it, clip 25.
After a while, we started covering Trump in a way that like a lot of legacy news organizations, that we were trying to damage his presidency, to even find anything we could to harm him. And I think what we latched on to was Russia collusion, like a lot of news organizations, which was, as I write, sort of catnip, although it was just rumors and a lot of it based on pretty shoddy documents or evidence. It wasn't really solid. But I think it was compelling.
So you think about that. Okay, there was no evidence. It wasn't solid, but it was compelling. So we all ran it.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
But again, you only find yourself in a position to do that, which the entirety of the media has done, because they didn't allow any voices of dissent. You see, the most important diversity in the world is diversity of thought. They like to talk to you about inclusion, and I'm not telling you it shouldn't matter. Okay, but I am telling you everything should be merit-based, number one. Okay, every single thing should be merit-based when you're in a position of great influence. But more importantly than that, diversity of thought is the most important form of diversity. And they don't champion it at any of these elite institutions because they stopped being about journalism and they started being about activism. And he's flat out admitting that to you as the guy who was running NPR. Okay, Juan Williams, here's a blast from the past. He got fired from NPR, but he's pretty honest about, as a liberal, he's still at his misgivings. Clip 27.
Not only did they fire me, they called me a psycho. I mean, they said horrible things about me quite publicly. So, no, it doesn't surprise me what he had to say. In fact, I think, and this, of course, was before Trump lore, so they are very much an insulated cadre of people who think they're right. And they have a hard time with people who are different. So even for me, and I don't think I'm any wild-eyed conservative, but they thought I was too conservative a black guy for their kind of company. I mean, at least they didn't fire him. I mean, the problem is they treat you as if you are a pariah. You're just, like, weird, you know, like, what kind of black guy are you? And, I mean, it's to me, you know, the thing is, I share your sentiment. That some of their segments are fine. I like a lot of the journalism there. But when you start digging underneath, you say there's no acceptance of people who have divergent points of view and perspective. What's
that, Kath? None at all. And that's the biggest problem facing the media, which is the teachable moment for you. You have to surround yourself with every type of opinion, because otherwise you become so insulated in that groupthink that you ultimately have a bad third base coach who's sending the runner, no matter how bad of an idea it happens to be. And that's where we find ourselves with this moment in the media. They've pushed every stupid Trump-bashing hoax known to man in an effort to win the ratings war. And the end result of that was that they lost all their ratings because nobody takes them seriously anymore.
You are correct, sir.
Jimmy Fallon.
He's got great charisma.
Yeah.
He's always dressed fantastic. He has what I call it.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon.
It is Fox Across America with your radio buddy, Jimmy Fallon. Going to be talking to the K-Train, rolling into the station in the next break. Listen, man. Me and Kennedy get a little nuts. Why? Because the world's on fire. You have two choices right now. You have either got to lose your mind and snap, which, you know, a lot of people are on the verge of snapping right
now. I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
You know, or you've got to find a way to laugh at it. Find some peace in all of this chaos, which is what we try to do every day that someone throws us in front of a microphone or a camera. To that point, this Saturday, Fox News Saturday night. The Dog Whisperer, Cesar Millan, is coming on to try to train my dog. It's going to be hilarious. My man Danny Boy O'Connor from House of Pain, Jump Around, he's coming on. If you're listening to KRMG down in Tulsa, you're familiar with Danny Boy. He owns the Outsider's House, based on the S.E. Hinton novel. And Brian Brenberg's going to be there. Christina Hutchinson, who hosts one half of the biggest sex podcast in the world, her and Corinne Fisher, host a show. And, of course, Kenny Krantz, one of my good buddies, who will be opening for me June 22nd. At the Count Basie Theater in Red Bank, New Jersey. All my pals. It's going to be nuts. It's going to be bananas. That's what we do on the show. It's doing great. And it's doing great because of you guys. It's doing great because of people who get what we're about to do with Kennedy in the next break, which is, you know, kind of mock the world we find ourselves in. Because there's never been a dumber time to be alive than this exact moment.
He knows what he's talking about.
I mean, seriously, this is as dumb as it's ever been, okay? And it deserves our mockery. It deserves our scorn, okay? We're being led by clowns, okay? We don't owe them anything by the way of respect, because none of them have the ability to act in a respectable manner, bottom line. So we'll have some fun with Kennedy when we come back.
It's the morning show that overslept. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
The rumors are true. Mikey booked Kennedy in studio yet again.
He should be behind bars.
A lot of people feel that way. Myself, I'm happy. I thought that soundbite was a cheap shot, even if it looked like it was played from my hand. It's the devil had my tongue. But joining us now in studio, as she does every Wednesday, big win for the American people, the K-Train pulling
Thanks,
into
Jim.
The station. Hello,
it's great
Kennedy.
To be here.
Hi there.
Hi, Jim.
Great to
Hi.
See you. Oh, my God. I'm in a really delirious, chippy mood today. Well, we were covering, and we have a lot to cover. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on. We were covering this NPR editor who had talked about how there was just too much groupthink in NPR, and they had kind of like lost the country a little bit. This is a teachable moment that you and I have been saying to people forever, because we have friends. And I mean, when I say the political spectrum, I do mean the spectrum,
oh, yes.
not just the
not
political,
just political spectrum,
spectrum, the actual spectrum. We have friends.
The one for which they raise millions of dollars, and rightly so.
And that's the only thing I wanted to cover here is this is a teachable moment for all Americans, because, you know, even people on the right, you don't realize that you need liberal friends. You need people that are moderate friends. You need a diversity of thought in your life. And I think a lot of people are guilty of what NPR is guilty of. Maybe not, you know, on the liberal side, but in our personal lives. You know, we've all heard the story of like, I'm not talking to this guy anymore. He's a liberal. He's a Republican. Is there anything dumber?
Yeah, he has an American flag in his front yard. He's dead to me. It's like, when did you move to Dearborn, Michigan?
We'll get to them because I love that one so much. But it's so fascinating because we grew up in an era. Okay, when we were growing up, we were kids, okay, even late teens, yeah. Even early in the 20s, okay, the going rate was like, all right, you know, I'm a Republican, my buddy's a Democrat, but deep down, we know these people are all in it for themselves, okay?
Yeah.
That hasn't changed.
Against them.
That hasn't changed.
No.
But now we're like, screw you, I'm with these people who are only in it for themselves. I can't believe you'd
no,
be with
I,
those
I'm
people.
I'm so mad at the government for screwing up everything.
Everything.
That I want more government, and that's what the progressives are going to give us. Like, college is too expensive. I want more government and more people in there jacking up the prices. It makes absolutely no sense. But what's very interesting, mm-hmm. So I saw Douglas Kennedy today on the other side of the hallway, mm-hmm. and I wanted to talk to him because this is the first time in a long time that I can remember that people, because I've got friends who are all over the map. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got friends who are surfers, I've got friends who are conservatives, friends who are artists, and they're all over the map politically. Some of them just hate politics. But it's very interesting because now they're contacting me sort of individually, like, yeah, I kind of like RFK Jr.
Yep.
Does that make me crazy? It's like, no, everyone's crazy.
Yeah.
And for anyone who says, well, he's crazy, therefore he can't be president. It's like, mm-hmm. no, this is not the same election.
Yeah.
No, he actually has all the prerequisites if he's kind of crazy. But I have never seen so many people who have nothing in common mm-hmm. intrigued by someone, and they don't want to just protest vote.
Yeah.
They are actually interested in what he would do because of his environmental bona fides. Mm-hmm. The environmentalists, the lefties are like, oh, no, he actually wants to clean things up.
Yeah.
And then the limited government people are like, oh, yes, he wants to end mass spying. And he hates forever wars.
Mm-hmm.
So he's delivering something that people are gobbling up. And I wanted to let Douglas know, but I feel like he already knows that.
Yeah.
And I feel like he has been ignoring me for 12 years.
It's the thing about an order of protection. They're not as outgoing when they see you. You know, those are those who respect the court's decision, not Kennedy's in studio. But this is the truth. People who are divorced from the emotion of politics realize neither party deserves a do-over right now.
Mm-hmm.
Neither party. Okay, people who are divorced from it. But a lot of people are invested in the emotion of this right now. Like the Trump saga, if you're a conservative.
And negative emotion.
Oh, of course. But the Trump saga.
Which will kill you.
If you are a conservative. I mean, if you were to poll the average conservative, they would rather lose with Trump in 2024 than take the chance of winning with another Republican. Because this is an emotional investment.
Yeah,
between
it's,
2016
you're absolutely
to 2020.
Right. Everyone is hyper-emotional.
And then on the Democratic side, you can't objectively look at the country and say Biden's done a good job.
No.
But they'd rather.
By every measure.
But they would rather ride or die with that.
Like everything, and now we just got this new CPI report. Yeah. Inflation is still high. They're not going to cut rates in June. Mm-hmm. We're screwed. No one can borrow money. There's even more economic immobility, mm-hmm. which is awful because it means you can't make major life decisions. You'll never pay your debt down. You are amassing more debt because things are more expensive. You're not getting a raise. Mm-hmm. So it's gobbling into whatever savings you had.
Yep.
And so people feel that and they're like, I hate Trump. He's absolutely out of his mind, but he's better than Biden.
Yeah. And that's it.
I cannot tell you how many people I talk to.
Yeah.
And have that conversation.
Yeah.
Who hated Trump in 2016 and 2020. They're like, I'm done with this. Like, they've shown me what the country is going to look like when they are in power. They are wrong.
Yep.
Everything about this sucks. Mm-hmm. And even though I can't stand him, I'm voting for him.
That's where we find ourselves. I was discussing this yesterday. People have been forced into a position where they have to separate their Trump feelings from their Trump facts. That's what we're seeing happen now. And it's fascinating because, like, Charles Barkley, Stephen A. Smith, Meek Mill, Ice Cube, O'Shea Jackson,
Michael Rapaport.
People who really openly despised or made a sport of despising Trump are now being like, well, maybe. You know?
Michael Rapaport has been an avowed liberal for years now. Mm-hmm. And he's like, there's absolutely no way I will vote for Biden.
Yeah.
And he's like, the squad is horrible.
Yep.
The country is on the wrong path. If you try and tell me it's not, you're lying to me. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing like Biden's record. Mm-hmm. It's like people are hurting. They can't afford things.
Yeah.
They don't have any money.
Yeah.
They're spending less than they ever have. Mm-hmm. But they're being told that this is the greatest economy ever and the most economically successful president in modern history.
I was talking about this with Jenny earlier in the show. I'm like, can you imagine the indifference you have to the suffering you're causing to tell people the economy is good? It's just a messaging problem.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm like, yeah, well, the message they're getting from their bank balance, the message they're getting from their cash register, that's the messaging problem.
Yes.
They don't take their lead from anything we say on cable news. If they have money, they feel good. If they don't, they feel bad. That's where we are right now.
I mean, those are the feelings that matter because those are not feelings. Those are facts to people and the most important ones and the best informed.
Very well said. The K-Train. You can read her all the time at the Daily Mail.
I don't even care if you do. I would love it.
That'd be nice.
I'd say come on over.
Click it, download it.
The hell has taken you so long?
You don't have to read it. Just click it, download it, subscribe
That's all I need.
Follow it, share it.
Slap it. Smother it.
And she does. We said this on the show.
Smother and covered?
Yes. No, she does. She is like the grits. She's the grits of reporters. Smothered, covered, you name it.
Choked. That's another one at Waffle House.
Yeah.
All of those descriptions at Waffle House of how you can have your potatoes. Mm-hmm. It sounds filthy, but the more descriptors you get, the more delicious it is.
Thank you.
And I know there are Waffle House people driving right now, high-fiving me, wherever they are.
It's very hot. High-fiving you and bare-handing hash browns with their other hand, steering with their knee,
frankly.
If there might be. The way this crowd rolls. Well, it's fascinating because the point you brought up earlier about Dearborn, Michigan. So Dearborn, Michigan, they're all chanting death to America.
Yes.
But it's an electoral liability for Biden to upset these people.
Which makes me it pleases me to no end.
Yeah.
Because of the irony here, the monster that he has fed that has now come to bite him in the ass.
Yep.
Is the most entertaining one that's ever escaped the zoo.
So now he's got to trash Netanyahu on the world stage, which, you know, does demonstrate, I think, a bit of weakness for us because it's sending the wrong message to people who respect nothing but strength and power, that if the political pressure is high enough, they're going to abandon principle. Mm-hmm. And I think it's such a weak look, but he's doing so to placate the people you kind of brought up earlier, which is the AOC wing of the party, which are the least informed people. Now, I say that because I played a Bill Clinton clip earlier. It's one of the few I can play on the air that doesn't involve, you know, being shown around the pantry.
I'm from the 90s, Jim.
Are you ever? But this is, I'm going to play this Clinton clip. It was legal to say this in his party in 2016. Can't say this now. Clip 9.
Hamas is really smart. When they decide to rocket Israel, they insinuate themselves in the hospitals, in the schools, in the highly populous areas. And they are smart. So they try... So they try to put the Israelis in a position of either not defending themselves or killing innocents. They're good at it. They're smart. They've been doing this a long time.
Now, man, by the way, they clapped for that seven, 8 years ago, because you could say that. And this is what they're doing to this day.
Yes.
And neither one of us are in favor of civilian casualties.
No.
But the point is Hamas intentionally causes them because they want a moral
They don't care about their own people.
Yes.
They know that it will create outrage. And yes. They know that it will make Israel mad.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, go ahead, hit us.
But
we love it. But you want to know where we are? Wherever our most vulnerable citizens are, we are going to embed ourselves there.
Mm-hmm.
It will be impossible for you to extricate us.
Yes.
So just go ahead and bomb it.
Now,
and then you will kill old people and babies.
Think about that. And now we are adjusting foreign policy to placate the people in this country who agree with the Hamas strategy.
As though they are ever going to be rational. As though they are ever going to extend us the same courtesy.
Yeah.
There will never be moral or political reciprocity with irrational, emotional freaks like that.
Yeah. And that's what's the scariest part of right now for me is the idea that you'd give that 4 more years on the world stage because they have been wrong about everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's the strongest case you make for somebody like an RFK Jr. or a Trump is you're not going to do that.
No.
Neither one of them are going to do that.
No.
So you'd vote for either of them. If Kanye decides to dust it off, I know he's got Lincoln support.
Well, he definitely has support in Dearborn.
Yeah. I'm kidding. Oh, we're talking to the K-Train. We're having a nice time.
What's going on with his wife?
Kanye's?
Yeah. Do you ever see her? I write about her occasionally in the Daily Mail.
Mm-hmm.
I dropped a little nug in my column, which I think will come out today or tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But he puts her, like, she's naked.
Yeah.
And he puts her in sheer hosiery.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
a lot of
body hosiery. And it's like a strapless sheer dress, and you can see, like, there's no underwears of any kind.
No.
And it's like he would throw a fit if Kim K was too underdressed. Like,
yeah.
If you could see any of the goods, he was so controlling. And now, and this woman looks like a hostage.
Yeah.
His wife, Bianca Censori, looks like she has been taken against her will.
Wow.
And she's always looking down. She looks miserable. He doesn't let her wear shoes half the time. It is just such freaky nonsense. And it's like, baby, is it worth it?
I know. Well, the reason I'm laughing is because it really – this is so illustrative of the – you know, it's like a Rorschach test. Like, you're looking at body language and things. I'm looking at body. So I've never put this thought into it. I see boobs and breasts. That's
yeah,
what
you're like, yeah, more naked hosiery. And I'm like, that's someone's daughter.
I'm over here like
– hubba, hubba.
And you're like – but you're going full Kevin Meaney. You're doing the opposite.
That's not right.
Yeah, that's not right, Kanye.
And she is not big pants people. She is no pants people.
No pants. She's no underwear people.
So is Kanye's wife a hostage? Is the question. I never thought of it that way. I have to ask Lincoln, the resident. Yeah. You know why Lincoln likes Kanye West, by the way? This is important.
Because he's a disruptor.
No, when you are a middle school kid, and this, we all went through this with NWA if you were my age.
Oh, yeah.
The first rapper that comes into your earbuds that's cursing and using all of this sexualized language, it's pure rebellion.
Yes.
Because it's everything on earth you're not allowed to say or discuss in front of your parents, and now you're alone with it in your headphones.
It's blank silly putty on the Sunday comics, which don't exist anymore. But when they did, people of a certain age will know exactly what I'm talking
about. Yeah, that's so
funny. And it impresses into you forever. Like, I will never forget Two Live Crew.
Yeah.
Like, Two Live Crew hit when I was a sophomore in high school.
Uh-huh.
And it was so filthy, but we memorized every word and we would laugh. And same with NWA. Like, there were songs that NWA had, like, cruising down the street, MI6-4. That's about as far as I can go.
Straight out of Compton. And
yeah, straight out of Lake Oswego. Very, very similar.
But the point is, there's such a sheer rebellion in that if you're a little kid, and this is something we've talked about off the air, they've made Trump the only form of rebellion for, like, boys, for male high school kids, male teenagers.
I don't know one of my girls' male friends.
Mm-hmm.
I should say that about my older daughter, because there's a generational split
between
18 and 15.
Mm-hmm.
But the 18-year-old, none of her friends are liberals. Like,
they would
rather move to Somalia than be a member of the Democrat Party or a progressive.
And if they do prefer Somalia, just tell them to stay in New York another 2 years.
Forget there, guys.
Save them the airfare. We are really close right now. But it's true. It's the only form of rebellion. They really did. And we've always said, like, he was the new punk rock. But now he actually is the new punk rock in that regard for a lot of these people.
If you want to make people mad, which is what punk rock is supposed to be.
Yep.
You are supposed to push against the establishment and make them very eager and angry and they clutch their pearls.
Yep.
The only way of doing that is being like, you know, I think Trump's right about something.
Trump is
lose their minds.
Trump is the NWA of politics.
He's the Sex Pistols of politics.
He's the Donnie Rotten. Donnie Rotten. He's got to change his name again.
Well done.
Donnie Rotten. He's got a shot at this thing.
If there's one takeaway from this segment of the show, that is it. Donnie Rotten.
We've hit our nadir, as the kids say. Mm-hmm. So you, my friend, I understand are taking a quick trip to Fiji, which I love.
That's correct.
That's exciting. I've never been. As you know, most of my foreign travel has been reduced to confined to Epcot.
it's like being in every one of those countries.
Yeah, you get to go. you get to go to all.
Very similar.
But I'm actually really psyched for this. And I try to make this point to the listeners a lot. Go do stuff.
Amen.
Go do stuff. People, the one thing we're good at,
yeah,
and you're great at this, is taking control of your life. What I mean is, like, life has a way of, like, hemming us into routines that
you need
to break.
You can always make excuses to not do things. So whenever a friend says to me, we should do this, I go, okay, and I book it.
Yep.
I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
Like, if someone says to me, we should take a trip, I'm like, okay, and I will give them options. I'm like, let me know which one you want because we are going to do this.
Yeah.
And that's why you have to be friends with people who would do the same thing.
Yeah, you need those people.
Because you need spontaneous friends who are sitting down going, you know, I've never been to Germany. Well, here we go.
Yeah. No,
Feed the same.
You never buy a used laptop from her. You have been to Germany digitally quite too many times on the old work computer. But the point is, there's no wrong time to take back your life, guys. Even if it's like a 1 hour, even if it's a one night thing. You just want to go to a show. Go do something.
Amen.
Because you got to break the energy. It's like, you know, one of the things they tell you if you're struggling on a diet is to just go eat lasagna, whatever the hell you want to eat. You know, because sometimes your body, your energy and the guilt you get from that reinvest in the mission. We all suffer from our own form of mission creep. It's just important to break it.
Yeah. And don't deprive yourself.
Yes.
Like you can eat in balance. You can eat in moderation 90% of the time. But that 10%, slow down and enjoy it.
Thank you. That's all we're trying to say. Now we're life coaches, by the way.
No, we really
do you realize
are.
The amount of terrain we covered in this interview? We freed Kanye's wife. We handled the Hamas conflict, the 2024 reelection. You guys just all booked a trip. What more do you want from me, you ingrates? That was Kennedy's time on the show. You
That's
know
it.
You love
Bye,
her.
Jeff. Hey,
get her out. Get her out of here.
Critics are calling it the show of the year.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Bottom of the ninth. On Fox Across America with your radio buddy, Jimmy Failla. Shout out to the K-Train. Go read her column in the Daily Mail. If you want to see me this weekend in Huntsville, Alabama, tickets foxacrossamerica.com. And next Saturday, I'm going to Fargo, WZFG, the Flag Family. This is long overdue. We've been making this campaign promise for 4 years. Next Saturday night, April 20th, our dreams come true. Going to be a rowdy one in Fargo. And if you showed up to the Federal Way Performing Arts Center last Friday, you will see yourself featured on Fox News Saturday night this weekend. We're putting that all together, making a little fancy vignette about the night we had in Federal Way. Now that we've taken a head count and everyone made it out of downtown Seattle alive, we are officially clear to air the footage. It was touch and go for a minute there. You know what happens in Seattle? My goodness gracious. But this one is pretty much over. Is the best way I can sum up what went on today. Everybody in Washington, D.C. is completely full of everyone in the media is completely full of and all of your happiness depends upon yourself because the government has no idea what it's doing.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Amen. So get out there and enjoy your American privilege. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
The Will Cain Show is now dropping 5 episodes a week. Join Fox and Friends weekend host Will Cain as he tackles the latest headlines from his unique perspective, along with thought-provoking interviews with leading figures and live calls from viewers and listeners. Listen wherever you download your favorite podcasts. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.